The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. The place for news, views, and entertainment the way you like it. RantEMRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in and listening to The Shining Wizards, proudly available at ShiningWizards.com and on the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on, including iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom, and so many more. If you shop at Amazon, visit Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as usual, pay the same low prices as always, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy Shining Wizards t-shirts, visit ShiningWizards.com/merch or a link to our Pro Wrestling Tees store and select from dozens of great designs. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wizards Podcast. If you'd like to check out our videos, visit YouTube or Dailymotion and search The Shining Wizards. The Shining Wizards airs live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East at RantEMRadio.com or SWLive.net. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
This is the Rogue Brandon Kirk, and you're listening to The Shining Wizards Podcast.
I have a small dick.
God damn it! Woo!
Hell! Children, donkeys, countrymen, trolls, elves, whatever you are listening to a special edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where it's wrestling talk.
And turn your microphone on, stupid.
That's right.
Talk about wrestling.
That's it. That's how we butcher an open. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not in Studio A. We are not in Studio B. We are in Studio B. BBP. It's me. It's BBP. We are coming to you live from the Brown Bear Pub in West Orange, New Jersey, home of our network affiliate, the Dumb Fellas Podcast. We are two dumb fellas, but we are the Shining Wizards. You have the right show. Matt, Kevin are here. Matt, what's the scoop, kid?
Well, once again, the summer schedule has stuck it right in my ass.
That's right.
Once again, Kevin to the rescue.
Louis Ramos style, right up in there.
This is like 2 out of 3 weeks where Kevin has come to the rescue. I had a guest lined up for tomorrow night, Tuesday night. We're not broadcasting this live because I think there's something on the rant, and I don't know how the Wi-Fi is down here.
What do you mean? It's not
like
not
I don't
strong?
Know if it's strong enough to broadcast,
live.
Yeah, so you have to listen to it in podcast form.
But we do want to thank the Brown Bear Pub and Greg for having us here, facilitating this podcast tonight. It's greatly appreciated, of course, I'm sure, on your end as well.
Absolutely. Brown Bear Pub, 104 Harrison Avenue in West Orange, New Jersey.
Cheap plug.
Karaoke Thursday nights.
Friday nights. But comedy.
Comedy Wednesday nights.
Tomorrow. Mark. Oh, yeah. Keep thinking. Wow. Yeah. Wednesday. Throw me off, man.
Yeah.
Wednesday night. Guys, listen. This will be up tonight?
Yeah, it'll be up by the time. Once I get home, I'll put it up.
Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen, I don't do this often at the upfront of the show, but I have a tremendous comedy show that myself and our dear good friend, sorry, Carino Fala, Carino Payne Moff, Dipsy. Me and my dear good friend Rich McDonald produce a comedy show here at the Brown Bear Pub Wednesday night outside. It's free. It's amazing. Great food, great drink, best wings in New Jersey.
Correct! Ding!
Wing! Sure thing, Ryan Ding. Mark Norman. Guys, YouTube him, Google him. He's just on the Tonight Show. He was just on the VMAs. and he's being gracious enough to come to the Brown Bear Pub in West Dallas, New Jersey, and perform stand-up comedy, close out a great show with Jackie Byrne, former guest of the show, KP Burke, and Rich McDonald, and myself. Very much looking forward to it, so we hope you can come out if you're in the area. So there's that. There's my plug, Matt. I'm sorry, but I had to get out of the way.
Do not be sorry. Again,
right up front.
Greg, who is the proprietor of this wonderful establishment, was gracious enough to let us use the back corner to record on the fly because work screwed me again. I had a guest all lined up for Tuesday night. We were going to go Studio B. We were going to have a good time. As soon as I confirmed with the guest this morning, I got the text, "Can you work tomorrow night?" And I was like, fuck.
Real life's a bitch. The shoot jobs suck, man.
So I instantly scrambled and I reached out to Kevin and asked if he could, if he was available tonight and if we could do it at the Brown Bear Pub. And it just worked out.
By the way, I want to tell you something. I went up to the Target by your abode.
Okay.
Their toy collection absolutely sucks.
Yeah, they don't really have a big...
Their action figure collection absolutely sucked.
I wish I had known you were up that way, because I would have sent you to the Walmart that is just up the road.
Okay.
287 The Booten. They have a little bit of a better selection.
Because it was my niece's second birthday party on Friday, so I went up on, I think, Thursday to go try to find some extra gifts for her. And, of course... When you're in the toy store, and you think that once Toys R Us closes, that everyone else is going to step their game up. Not the case.
No, not the case at all.
They had the only figures that I was intrigued on buying were the Revival NXT double pack.
I've seen that when they come with the straps, right?
Yeah, with the NXT belts. And it was only because of the belts.
Really?
And that, I have no interest in the figures. I want belts. That's all I want. Like, I'm a belt mark. I'm an action figure mark, but not current action figure mark. Old school action figure mark. So if I have belts that I can put on my older action figures, that's what I like to do.
All right. I can respect that.
Dana Brooke. Yep. It was the Revival, and it was the Rusev NXT when he's wearing, like, the skirt.
Oh, wow. They really had nothing there,
They had nothing. And then I went to Kmart in West Orange, New Jersey, which, again, wasn't looking for anything crazy. That's right. Listen, Kmart is still alive. They still got a toy section. So I went.
I like turtles.
I like turtles. I do love turtles. Put that drop again. That's my favorite drop.
I like turtles.
That's right.
Man, that Kmart's a little ghetto, though.
Yeah, but it's close. It's literally right up the street from where we're podcasting right now.
Better assortment of figures?
Better. It was better, but that's not saying much because the one in Target, I was expecting so much more because it's Target.
Right. Did they have any of the Hasbros, the newer ones?
The Target did. So they had, who did I see there? But I'm not interested in the newer style Hasbros.
Right.
I think they, and you could listen to our pals, obviously, Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder talk about this on their new show.
Wow, did you just refer to Zack Ryder as your pal now?
No, actually, that was stupid. That was a mistake.
I didn't know if something happened. I know you...
No.
I mean, for...
I've had communication with Zack Ryder, but no, he's not my friend.
For podcast sake, I think you should refer to him as your pal.
Yes, he is my pal. Zack Ryder is my pal, but Kurt Hawkins, you can listen to their new podcast, The Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, which is available wherever you can download podcasts. Hopefully it's somewhere else soon, too, in the near future. We're still trying to iron that out, but...
Yeah, it's on iTunes.apple.com/... the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at MajorWFPod. I listened to the first episode yesterday on my way back from my sister-in-law's house. They moved down the shore, and she had told me at like 4:30, like, hey, you should probably leave by 5 if you want to beat traffic. And I was like, there's no beach traffic on a Monday. She was like, it's Sunday. And I was like, oh, because I was off. So I was off on Sunday. But I'm usually off on Mondays, so I'm all fucked up. but I listened to the podcast. Awesome. 30 minutes to
Beautiful.
The point.
It's perfect.
And
they didn't really even get, they set the stage of what they're going to talk
right.
about in the future.
They haven't even scratched the surface.
Yeah.
If I wasn't in my bathing suit, I may have driven up to that Kmart, the Walmart by me, to walk around and look at figures.
It's so ridiculous, and these guys are so knowledgeable on figures. And me and Matt, I'm sorry if you hate hearing us talk about action figures, but it's a passion that me and Matt have recently fell back into. I mean, we were when we were younger, but now as adults, as truly grown-ass men, probably the oldest wrestling podcasters that there are in wrestling, if you're not a name, it's a passion that we fell back into. So it was an idea that me and Matt were toying, no pun intended, around with for a while, is to at least have a segment on this show devoted entirely to action figures. We were going to call it, I believe, the figure four or something like that, where we would dissect and discuss four separate action figures from all the eras, from the LJN to the Hasbro to the AWAs, I think the Remcos, I believe they were. And even going forward to the Jax and then the Mattel and then to current day stuff. And Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder, who I can't speak for Zack Ryder, but I do know Kurt Hawkins. Amazing guy, truly passionate about collecting. And if you know Zack Ryder's social media, you know how big of a lunatic he is in terms of collecting. And he spares no expense to purchase.
No, he does not.
Anything. And he mentioned that he spent $1,000 on a diesel prototype wrestling buddy,
yeah, that's
which I actually just found my Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior wrestling buddies from back in the day.
Nice,
I gotta wash them. I have no interest in those. So if I wash them and they're clean, like I have a very specific taste when it comes to action figures. It's LJN, it's Jax, it's Hasbro. Will I get into the Mattel line? I probably should for the sake of my future. I probably should invest in those, but. We love action figures. We love talking about wrestling figures. Me and Matt, we obsess. When we're in Studio A, we go to Tony's house, and the first thing we do is go to the big box of LJN that are in remarkable shape. So kudos to Shining Wizards Tony for keeping those LJNs in amazing shape. So wow, did I go on a tangent or what?
You did. I hate the LJNs, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
I don't like them.
You don't admire how solid and how like good they look.
I don't think some of them look awful.
Like who, specifically? Because you got to show your work.
Right off the top, the Dynamite Kid I have at home looks nothing like Dynamite Kid, in my opinion.
But on the same page, the British Bulldog looks exactly like the British Bulldog.
Sure, but that's six in one, half a dozen in the other. I mean...
cut off your nose to spite your face.
If you're going to do it, you got to go all out. I mean, look, there's always action figures that don't look like...
Look at the Superfly Jimmy Snuka Hasbro.
And you know what? So... I listened to this podcast that Brian Myers and
I'm chewing ice. I'm so sorry. I'm chewing ice.
And Matt did, right? That's his name? Matthew?
Yeah, Matt.
Yeah. I don't know how to say his last name.
I mean, I think he made it pretty public, but I'm not going to
say
it.
No, he did. They said who they were.
Yeah.
And I went home and I was looking at the Hasbros that I have. That Papa Shango figure. There aren't many with that are built like that, you know,
like
the arm punch.
It's a tall arm punch figure. It's a taller, like, because you have the Jake the Snake with an arm punch. You have the El Matador Tito Santana with the arm punch.
And the DiBiase
one. A DiBiase with an arm punch. That was a later series too. But you're right. There's not a figure that is that tall and that like I don't know how to explain it.
He's
it's
just
like,
vertical. He's
it's
just...
very vertical. It's a very vertical figure with no real protrusions, I guess, for lack of a better word, and it's an arm punch, which you don't see very often. And in fact, I think it might be the only one of its kind with that straight back spring arm punch.
That's what I was thinking, because I just got in the mail Rick Rude
with the old George Costanza,
which
tick
I hate
when he I hate that I hate and.
Because they did it to Flair, too.
They did it to Flair. I hate that action. I hate that version of the figures.
The headlock punch.
I hate that. And plus, and this also goes for the Jake the Snake Roberts figure, Hasbro. They're very small in comparison to the other ones. Like, they're very, like, even for first series where Jake the Snake, I believe we talked about this last week. I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself. I have the memory of a goldfish. They're very tiny, and they're not very, like, and I always put this in like terms of, like, if I'm booking a match. Jake the Snake Roberts is my jobber. Rick Rude is my jobber.
Okay.
Because they look like so, I put them as a tag team as, like, rough and ready. That's my Dirty Dick Slater and Mike Enos.
Your homage.
Yeah. So, but they're just, they're small, they're not intimidating. And I think they did the Ric Flair a tremendous disservice with that action, with that figure. They could have, the Ted DiBiase, look at every single Ted DiBiase figure, Hasbro figure, way more glorious than a Ric Flair figure. And Ric Flair deserved better.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All of them, the black tuxedo, the green tuxedo, even the one that I don't like, which is the, you know, the
black tights.
The black tights with the arm punch. Way more, what's the word, flattering than the Ric Flair figure.
Interesting.
And listen, I'm so mad that these guys discovered doing an action figure podcast before us. But well, they're famous, so.
They do have a little more
inside information.
Yeah, they can get.
And listen, I look forward to listening to it. And it's going to be, from what I understand, it's going to be very interactive. So they're going to accept comments and questions and everything from their Twitter followers and fans. So you might, listen, you might hear the Shining Wizards name pop up on there soon. I would not be shocked.
I would hope so. I reached out to Brian just to tell him that I very much enjoyed it.
He liked the tweet.
Oh, no, I personally sent him a Facebook message, and he responded because I...
And I think are you going over my head to go
no, no.
To the Hawkins
connection?
No,
I think we had this conversation when we had the Amazing Graysons in studio. I am torn with do I want to open my figures or not. And Brian admitted on the first episode that him and I think Zach are both loose collectors.
Zach collects everything.
Yeah, he's a bit of a
psychopath. He's a nut.
So that was my, you know, I just sent a message like, listen to the first episode, I love it. I also
open
can't. Yeah, but now I'm at a point where, like, I just don't have any room for them. You know, I have, in storage, like, a bin full of, like, I have, like, TNA figures from when we first started doing the podcast.
Do you have any loose belts?
I definitely have loose belts in the Jack's bin.
I'm going to need those.
We'll have to talk some trade.
They talked about the ECW belts, and Hawkins was kind of down on those, and I thought they were really good.
He was very critical of the TV belt. The tag titles.
Yeah. And I had Taz, and I think I had – maybe did I have the FTW belt? Did they make an FTW belt?
I'd have to go through my bin.
But I definitely had the world title belt, which was essentially like – the Intercontinental belt kind of shape, right? If I'm not mistaken. No, those were the tag belts. I'm sorry. But I had the world title belt, and the TV title belt was like the WWF world title, Winged Eagle.
Yes.
And I had both, and I thought they were both fantastic. So,
yeah,
I disagree with Kurt Hawkins, and I just realized that I'm actually wearing a Zack Ryder t-shirt.
You are.
Right now.
I'll have to go and pull those out, because I have all the ECW figures and the ring.
You
and I have all the accessories.
You son of a bitch.
For my jacks, too. I'm sorry.
I'm chewing ice like a jerk off.
That's my big problem right now when I'm buying these Hasbros online on eBay. I'm looking for loose ones. They have to have the accessories. And some of the... Your microphone's falling out of the stand. That's what it is. Some of the accessories... There you go. Just stick it in there, Kev.
There we go.
Some of the guys like I have a green $1 Million Man with the belt that I got for like $12 on eBay. Anything black DiBiase, like the lowest is like $30 with the belt.
No way.
And I'm like, I can't. I just saw last
night. Oh, with the belt.
Yeah, with the belt. Everything else without the belt's like $6-$7.
Yeah.
But I have to have the accessory. Like, you gave me that Papa Shango, and it's cool and all.
Doesn't have the bones.
People are selling the Papa Shango with the bone necklace for like $50 on eBay.
That's crazy.
And I can't pull the trigger on a loose Papa Shango just because it has the bone necklace.
You have to like go to like a a garage sale or find someone that you know that has it, that is willing to just give it to you. Like the lot that I'm sitting on right now, which I was supposed to have last week, it looks like I'm not going to have it till this week. This Wednesday at the Brown Bear Pub, where Mark Norman performs stand-up comedy headlining. I'm going to meet my buddy here. He's going to bring that lot of action figures. Mike Salona, shout out. Very funny comedian. And then we'll split them up. And I can't wait. Let's
hot dog. That's going to be like Christmas.
It's going to be fun because there's not a whole lot that I need in that lot. It's just some that I would prefer to have. Like, I have a Jim the Anvil Neidhart, but I'm nervous that the elbow is going to fall off any second. So I'm going to take that one.
All right. I'm still waiting on my Hulk Hogan lunchbox that I purchased last week.
I was about to say, did I agree to give you my Hulk Hogan lunchbox?
You did not. You did agree to give me some kind of Macho Man figure.
Yeah, which I forgot.
And after we left Tony's last week, gifts in hand, I was thinking after I listened to that podcast, that I was like, Kevin, that wasn't in Kevin's car, or was it?
What?
No, Kevin didn't give that to me. I thought I like had left. I thought
that I had given you the Macho Man.
My mind's eye, like Matt Seidel,
Macho Man.
I thought you would give me the Macho Man. I left it in my car, but you did not.
Nope. You came back to the Brown Bear Pub and we had some shots. So
we did have a good time.
Oofa.
We did have a good time.
You know what? I'm not gonna lie to you. I was extremely exhausted this entire day. Now that we're sitting down and we're talking about action figures and wrestling soon, I'm like second wind.
It's like a shot in the arm.
Like it's a B12 shot, bro. All
right.
It's a bro 12.
Bro shot?
Bro 12 shot, bro. Sick. Woo, woo, woo. I'm also kind of drunk.
Kind of drunk?
Kind
of. How was the watching of the cats?
All right. So, time filler here. My brother is on vacation, so I'm watching his cats. And they are alive, but the one fucking cat is a bully. He'll, like, you're supposed to split one can of cat food between the two dishes.
Okay.
But the one cat won't eat his dish while you're there.
Okay.
So the other cat tries to sneak in and eat his serving. So I have to be alert.
Right. Yep.
So, like, I'm literally there for like 3 hours so he doesn't eat the food, because that's how much the other guy won't eat his own food. But then I slipped up. I went to the bathroom and Mac ate Otis's food. But then I put dry food in the dish and Otis ate that. So they're not starving.
How do you do with the smell of dry cat food?
It's rough.
When I smell dry cat food, I'm not even kidding you, Kevin, I do this.
What else do you do? Is there something on there that...
I don't have the vomit sounds.
No, it's all right. It's all right. People appreciate us and the wait. It's worth the wait.
Jesus!
But...
When my wife went to Burma several years ago and we...
Wait, what? Where?
Burma.
Isn't it Myanmar?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just easier to say Burma.
Okay.
When she went a couple years ago and we first got the cat... And I had to give it feed. At the time, we were feeding Muda dry food. I don't know why. Because we don't give him dry food now.
Okay.
I had to put a bandana around my face so I couldn't smell the cat food.
Really?
The smell of fucking dry cat food makes me gag.
You ever want to be humbled, man? If you're not a cat owner and you ever want to be humbled, changing the litter, like scooping poop out of a litter box is the most humbling thing in the world.
Really?
I think so, because I've never had a pet in my life. Never had a pet.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I guess it's the equivalent of scooping up dog turd while you're walking the dog.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm, like, on my hands and knees with this fucking spoon with holes. It's like a spatula, and I'm going sifting through sand for poop. It's like the opposite of, like, if you're on the beach with a metal detector. It's the exact opposite. You're not getting rich. There's no gold doubloons in the litter box.
Nope.
And there's the name of the episode. So I was like, what the fuck am I doing? But it's my brother. I love him. It's my sister-in-law, the mother and father of my niece, who I love more than anything in the world. So I will do that for them. Plus, I get a couple hours to watch the Michael Kay show and drink a couple beers. So.
Nice. Very good. I know you had mentioned you were worried about the heat. with the cats.
Yeah.
Cats have either a higher body temperature than us or lower, so the heat doesn't bother them.
Really?
Muda lays in the kitchen window during, like, all day today. That's where he was.
Is the window open?
Yeah, the window's open. He hates when the air conditioning's on, he won't go in the living room.
Oh. I don't know. I was just always under the impression that, like, they could die if it's too hot.
I feel like that's the impression with anybody.
Yeah, with any sort of life form. Yes, you're correct. Yeah. But
and also, cats don't drink a lot of water.
Yeah, and they have this weird little fountain that it's, like, dogs, you put a dish with water in it, right?
Right.
Cats have, like, this elaborate setup. It's like a flower that the water's, like, cascading off the flower into, like, a little, like, so they basically have to, like, lick it up as it's, like, falling off the petals of this flower into the bowl.
I feel like somebody once told me cats are more likely to try and drink water if it's like a constant stream.
Well, the one cat loves the sink. He just loves chilling in the sink.
All right.
So that's Mac. He's a big fat boy because he steals Otis's food. Stop being a jerk, Mac.
Yeah, Mac, you fucking dick.
But
Don't be a dick, Mac.
Don't be a dick, Mac. Don't be a big Mac.
So I listened back to last week's episode of the podcast. Actually, hysterical, by the way. Miserable Tony might be my new favorite thing. And me yelling at him might be my new favorite thing to do as well. I will admit that I was wrong.
About what?
That Baron Corbin match went like 14 minutes.
And what did you say it was again?
He said it was like 20 minutes. And I was like, you and me were like, no, it's 6-7 minutes.
It was 14 minutes?
It was like 14 minutes right. long.
And we I apologize.
Bad. I don't apologize.
I apologize.
I just feel bad.
What do you do when you feel bad? Isn't the next move, is it like the progression of feeling bad is to admit feeling bad?
Sure, it is. But I just felt bad, and that's it. I left it at that. I'm not going to apologize to him. Fuck him.
That's a good point.
Although.
Twitch.
Yes.
I knew exactly where you were going.
We are working on a Twitch channel for the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. I set up the account. Tony has once again become the wizard of technology and figured out a stream.
I see what you did there.
So it's up on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Wizards Podcast. Twitch.tv/Wizards Podcast.
We had some viewers in there. I was there. I think Matt McIntosh was watching along. The Bad Apple.
All right.
Was in there watching.
Tony just played a match from No Mercy, and he broadcasted it up there. And we're gonna work on. You know, we talked about Virtual Pro 2 last week. We're definitely
which I will easily destroy both of you in.
Yep. Kevin's drunk again.
Nope. You can't get undrunk and re-drunk that fast.
All right. Well, I mean, you're saying asinine statements, so.
Listen, you have no, like, I will be, like.
I understand.
I'm not a confident guy.
I understand where you're coming from, but you've never seen me play virtual.
I agree with you, but that has nothing to do with where I'm coming from.
Okay.
Like, I will absolutely wreck you. It's so funny.
All right. Well, stay tuned because this is going to happen. And it will be on Twitch TV, and I'm sure it'll be fucking hysterical.
Regular character, no made-up mumbo-jumbo.
No, fake, none of the mumbo-jumbo.
Strong power move set, none of that. Regular characters, as is, I will beat anyone on this planet.
Look, I don't know what your weird rules to your Virtual Pro 2.
I'll adapt to anything. I'm like a chameleon.
Okay, I don't know, because you said you and your friends have rules. I don't play by any rules. When I played Virtual Pro 2, it was dog-eat-dog. There were no rules.
See, there's integrity to the game that you got to respect.
No. It's Virtual Pro 2 Wrestling. There was no integrity. We would break into Jamie Miller's house to play when he wasn't home.
Were you there when we used to play? And again, forgive me, I'm probably repeating myself. I used to play with Jamie as well, but not in his house. I think we played at Gethard's house.
No, I've never been to Chris Gethard's.
When he lived over in the valley of West Orange.
Yeah,
so, like, me, Jamie, this fucking old goofy kid, Greg something. I think Dave Suss. Do you remember Dave Suss?
I do remember Dave Suss.
God damn.
That's a good poll.
That's a great poll, right? The Dave Suss. I remember I was a freshman, and we were, yes, ladies and gentlemen, I was in the marching band, and we were at band camp, and Dave Suss was playing guitar. I'm like, why is it the same three chords over and over? He's like, Kevin, that's fucking punk rock. And I was like, I get it. I get punk rock now. Because it was like the worst thing ever. It wasn't entertaining at all. But Dave Suss and Jamie Miller and Chris Gethard and who else? Carson Kopp.
Nice. So, nice. Nobody knows who these people are.
I know, but listen, they're getting a plug in front of thousands and thousands of people, so there you go.
Fair enough.
That's it.
So, did you finish Monday Night Raw last week? Because it ended with a bang.
With the Shield gimmick. Yes,
buddy.
Yes, I did. Bennett. But Ambrose haircut, Rollins wears my blonde hair, Roman big dog, bark burner, Strowman. Announce table, Bennett, Byron, Saxton, Michael, Cole. You gain a lot of weight, but I've seen pictures of you where you're muscular. Oh my God, Corey Graves, shut up. I hate you, Bennett, the Shield, Echo, Bennett.
So, we got the big, big return of the Shield. After Roman Reigns successfully defended against Finn.
So what's going to happen now? Are they like... Because all consensus is that Braun's a babyface, Roman's a babyface, the Shield are babyfaces.
Yeah, I think that whole like heel babyface thing is like gone. Like it's been gone
for a while.
It's
got to be. I mean, we're recording this on a Monday night, so we're probably not going to see what happens tonight on Raw to see how they follow up. But it's just like, I didn't see that coming. I mean, it makes sense, but like the three of them taking out one guy, I don't know, a little weird to me. But you obviously had a point going into bringing it up. So what were your thoughts?
What about I'm in the same boat as you in terms of like, who's the heel, who's the face. But then again, like it's that weird.
But know. Now does like Braun like, does Braun need to have backup against these three guys?
Well,
is it just going to be, was that just like one time, like relive the gimmick? Maybe they're pushing for, what's the next pay-per-view?
Hell in a Cell.
Are they doing something to just to promote that? Or maybe the Australia show? Maybe they're going to be in a match at the Australia show?
Well, I think it was, they post Monday Night Raw, they did like a Twitter thing where Braun Strowman called out Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns was like, that's funny. You decided you wanted to cash in after I just wrestled a 20-minute match, so don't be a coward and face me man-to-man at 8 o'clock on Monday Night Raw. It seems like we're going to get Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman at Hell in a Cell, and you're going to get Dean and Seth against Dolph and Drew.
That's a I'm on board with that. On paper, I'm definitely on board with that.
I don't think it's terrible. I think the Shield thing makes sense. I think
it was just I didn't see it coming, which I guess is the best way to produce TV is do something that you don't expect your audience to see. I did not expect them to come out and help him.
Right, and to go back to your point, I mean, now what's where, you know. Was it a one-time thing? Are we going to see the Shield? Is this Shield reunion?
Like a union.
Is this happening?
Because you remember, they were going to do that until they got hurt. Until I think it was Dean Ambrose that got hurt. Or,
yeah, because they were the tag champs, weren't they?
Yeah, Seth and Dean were.
Right, and then Dean got hurt.
Yeah, and then they looked like they were going with the full... They remade the shirts and everything.
Right.
So.
So now, like, when Roman Reigns defends the title, are the Shield lurking in the background to protect the title?
To protect him from... all right, I didn't think about that. That protects Roman Reigns. It's like an insurance policy for, like, a unfair cash-in, basically. So, like, if he thinks Roman Reigns is vulnerable, he's not that vulnerable because you have Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins waiting in the wings to catch him. I never thought about that. That's actually pretty smart.
Would they? Do you think they would revisit one of them turning on Roman to get the title?
I hope not, but because I think they're all so over as baby. I mean, obviously the exception is probably Roman, but he's not over for all the wrong reasons. Dean Ambrose, to me, his comeback, his new look, his everything, you don't just shit on that pop right away. But do you? Like, do you turn him and make, because he's so over, and you turn him heel? Because Seth Rollins has been the most over guy in the company, as far as I'm concerned. So, like, again, what does my opinion mean? Probably a whole hill of beans. But if it's me, I keep him all babyface. Maybe Dean Ambrose turns and allows Braun to win. I don't know.
Is it because Seth? We already had the Seth Rollins turn. You think like if anyone was going to turn, it might be Seth Rollins.
Yeah, that definitely plays a part in it. But the only thing is though, I think the heat would be between Dean and Seth, not so much Dean and Roman. Now there's time to play that up where Dean has Roman's back. A lot. So if the turn does happen, it can make it more memorable and make it more effective. But I think the real heat would be if Dean turned on Seth. But there's no real story there yet,
right?
In terms of the, because you already have, for now you keep that together because of the Dolph Drew McIntyre stuff. So that's your feud. That's your semi main event feud right there.
Right.
So I don't know. What the hell do I know? I'm just speaking out loud like a jerk.
I'll tell you what you do know. The big Daniel Bryan return is going to lead us to Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella.
At Hell in a Cell.
What? I'm sorry?
At Hell in a Cell. I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Because I think they're looking, I think their focus is on the Australia show where they're going one-on-one and a winner gets a title shot match.
All right. Fair enough. I don't know. I could do without.
You didn't see that coming?
You know what? I'm not going to lie. No, I did not see that coming. I didn't think they would go there with him.
I did.
And the Miz. I get it. And it goes back to what you said last week. You hate the inter-promotional
everything
bullshit.
That in the ring is to promote something right. Outside of the ring.
I get it now. Like, this is like just.
You want to see something sick? I'm going to go on the WWE app. Which is basically essentially the website. And you scroll, if the Wi-Fi is good enough, if you scroll through their like clips and their photos, about two-thirds of them are all promoting
Total Bellas?
Well, I mean, it's Raw, so it's kind of a rough night, so I might be a little off. But because Raw is happening as we speak. But everything is Miz and Mrs. Look, one, yep. Two, three, four, five. Six. There's all. It's all video
Jesus
clips of Miz
Christmas.
And Mrs. Like seven in a row, which again, full disclosure, Miz is my favorite wrestler, seconded by the Major Brothers, Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. But it's sickening that they do everything to promote this show. I get why they do it. Everyone gets why they do it. I'm not a fucking idiot. But it's just like, I'm going to WWE.com, and they usually put some pretty unique stories on there, like the Where Are They Nows, like this and that. And I'm going through, I'm like, I don't want to see clips of Miz and Mrs.
Awesome.
Oh, this is a great theme song, though. There's a price to pay. Bay-bay. I need another drink.
Does he say bay-bay now?
Because the baby?
No. Big Miz fan.
Huge Miz fan. Diehard Miz fan.
Do you watch the Miz movies?
I don't watch. I think the last WWE movie I watched was probably 12 Rounds because it was on TV.
And that was that a John Cena vehicle?
I think it was a John Cena vehicle. And I've seen The Condemned with Austin.
Because just the Miz.
A-lister, my man, Pots and Pans.
Marine 3, 4, and 5, plus he's in Santa's Little Helper, and Christmas Bounty.
Those were TV movies, though, right, on ABC Family. One of them was where he started.
Santa's Little Helper? I have no idea.
Yeah, pretty sure that was an ABC Family original
movie. Oh, Paige was in that, too.
Yeah. pretty sure that's an ABC Family vehicle.
Wow. That sounds...
To quote Peter Rosenberg.
Fucking awful. Maurice was in there, too. Santa's little helper.
Maybe that's where they fell in love.
Yeah. In 2015, weren't they already together?
I have no idea.
You know, how do you not know the history of The Miz?
I don't know his entire Miz-dery, all right? Like, I know...
So you're not, like, borderline stalking, like, obsessed with The Miz?
No, not even close.
Okay. Fair enough.
I literally just recently followed him on Instagram. Like, literally, like, probably less than a month ago. And he's been on Instagram for what? Since his existence?
Probably.
And I just followed him.
Well, they've been married since 2014.
There you go.
And they just moved to Austin, Texas.
Well, that I saw in the commercials because they air them relentlessly during Raw.
Oh, okay. Very good. So that's really the big takeaway. Oh, SmackDown, did you catch the Becky Lynch stuff where she essentially came out and explained why she was why she turned on Charlotte?
That was last Tuesday. I did not. What did she say?
She essentially said everything that you thought she would say. I want to see if I have it in my notes here. Hold on one second, Mr. Kevin.
No, it's all good, my man. I mean, it's storytelling 101, really.
Aha, there we go. It was clear on last night's SmackDown that Becky Lynch attacking Charlotte Flair after Charlotte won the Triple Threat SmackDown Women's Championship match at SummerSlam was a full heel turn, people. Lynch said the fans acted out like they're with her, but she asked if they were really there the whole time. She said there was no hashtag about giving her a chance, no boycott over Charlotte being added to the match. She also blamed the fans for applauding Charlotte winning the title and said the fans don't say Lynch is the greatest of all time whenever asked. She said they're a generation of all talk and opinion with no action. The fans still cheered Lynch, though not as loudly as at SummerSlam. So, very interesting.
So she's a heel.
She's a full-on heel. Are you shaking your head at that?
I'm shaking my head only because I guess this is just the fan in me. There's certain people that you just don't want them to be bad guys. Like, it's so weird. It's just like, it's my own inner thinking. It's like, I think we just talked about, Dean Ambrose. I don't want to see Dean Ambrose the bad guy. Could it be amazing? Yeah. Probably
absolutely
will be.
When he was John Moxley in NXT.
Of course.
And he did that stuff with Foley at, like, the conventions and stuff.
I mean, when he debuted in WWE, in The Shield, they were all bad guys. But, like, now, like, that music just gets me so pumped where, like, here's the exception, and you're going to disagree with me completely on this, is Shinsuke Nakamura. Because you just hate everything about what he's done on the main roster.
Yes.
But I think he's a guy who... As much as you love to sing along to his music, as much as you love to cheer him and do that, when he turned, I was like, you know what? I love this.
When he first turned, I was okay with it.
Yeah.
But he still has those goofy tendencies to, come on! And when he's fucking talks.
I love it.
Oh, my God. Don't talk.
Listen, it's a preference thing. I'm telling you. I could be in the minority. I could be in the majority. I don't know. But, like, a guy like Dean Ambrose, his pop is so natural. Like, same thing with Seth Rollins again. Like, if Seth Rollins goes back to being a heel, maybe I could accept it because he was such a good one for such a long time. But that burn it down, like, again, it's all entrance, it's all hype, but you just don't want to see that go away where the crowd just literally goes, burn it down. And when the Dean Ambrose engine... Oh. Great tune. Such a great tune.
Like, I'm with you on that.
You don't want to see it go back, but you'll accept it maybe once it happens. Oh, sorry. I talked over it. I buried the lead. Buried the lead there. Like, I never thought Braun Strowman would be such a great babyface. But he is.
Is it fair to say that it's harder to be a babyface than it is a heel?
100%. I think a lot of people with more intelligence and knowledge of wrestling than us will 100% probably say that.
Now, are you on the fence or you just don't want Becky to be a heel?
See, like, I'll tell you what. I want to be like Becky's boyfriend. So, like, she's a bitch. I'm like, I'm not going to be your boyfriend.
Why not? It's a bad bitch right there. You don't fuck with a bad bitch.
That's right. She could probably defend me in a lot of fights.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's true. She would have my back. So if I got into a bar fight with Becky Lynch in my corner, I'd throw the first punch and just let her do the rest.
All right. Yeah.
And just run away.
She's the last kicker.
She's the last kicker. That's right. All right. I need a beer.
Yeah.
A drink.
I'll take another twist. You know what we're going to do, Kevin?
We're going to take a break?
While you go get those drinks, I'm going to talk about some of our brand new...
Uh-oh. I mean, not uh-oh in a bad way. Uh-oh, like, I'm excited.
No, we have a couple new, and I figure...
Friends! Affiliates, if you will?
New friends, new promotions, and you know what? I feel like we have so many of them now that maybe it's a good idea to break it up throughout the show.
Ah!
One long...
So they might get lost in the shuffle. We split it up. And, you know, no, what's the term they use in,
no limit soldiers?
No, no specific order. Like, not that one is more important than the other. They're all important.
Right.
So, Matt will do that. I'm going to get us a couple twisted teas, and we are going to have some fun. Matt, take it away!
All right, Kevin, thank you so much. Let me skip this ad. Let's fire up a little music here. We are expanding. We are adding more and more promotions to our list of friends, and we want to start with our brand new friends in the world of professional wrestling. And we're going to start with our friends at Limitless Wrestling, limitlesswrestling.com. You can follow them on Twitter at LWMain. They have a show September 21st, Pretenders Beware, 120 Stroudwater Avenue in Westbrook, Maine. JT Dunn takes on Ace Romero. Brian Cage takes on Chris Dickinson, plus Colt Cabana, Josh Briggs, Kevin Blackwood, Chris Stadlander, Sammy Callahan, and more. Follow them at LWMain on Twitter, limitlesswrestling.com. The Wrestling Revolver at PW Revolver on Twitter, prowrestlingrevolver.com. October 20th, Tales from the Ring at the Vale Ale Ballroom, 301 Ashworth Road in West Des Moines, Iowa. PCO takes on Walter. Marco Stunt takes on Ace Romero. Jimmy Jacobs takes on JT Dunn. David Starr, OVE, Team Palmer, Rich Swan, so many more. Follow them at ProWrestlingRevolver.com, at PW Revolver on Twitter. Our friends over at Combat Zone Wrestling, at The Combat Zone on Twitter, CZWrestling.com, September 8th, Down with the Sickness at the Colossal Sports Academy, 333 Preston Avenue, Voorhees, New Jersey. The Chris Cash Memorial Ladder Match, plus the rep takes on Blackout. CZWrestling.com for all your information. Innovative Pro at Innovative Pro _ on Twitter. It only takes three. Sunday, October 21st, in Richfield Park. Bell time, 2 o'clock. It's the first round of the Tag Team Tournament. Domesticated Violence takes on the Heavenly Bodies, plus Nick Gage takes on JT Dunn. Domesticated Violence.
Heavenly Bodies.
Yes.
What company is this that we're promoting? I'm sorry, I was away.
Innovative Pro.
Ah.
Plus Matt Tremont's debut. Now You Create Wrestling at NYC Wrestling on Twitter. They have a Facebook, facebook.com/NYC Wrestling for all the upcoming events. Our friends over at Rise Wrestling. Rise is spelled R-Y-S-E _ wrestling on Twitter. They're based out of the Pittsburgh area. Give them a follow, risewrestling.com. Saturday, September 8th, The Stronghold, Lamont Furnace, Pennsylvania, 7:30 p.m. Bulk Nasty takes on Lewis. Frostbitten takes on the System Elite. Matt Connard takes on Gory, plus David Lawless, the Honey Badger, and more. This is all compliments of our friend True Prince of Pro. He put us in touch with these guys, and you know we love promoting all things professional wrestling, especially a wonderful company out of the Pittsburgh area. So give Rise Wrestling a follow. Rise is spelled with a Y, R-Y-S-E, wrestling.com. And then XWA, at the official XWA on Twitter, the official XWA.com. They are based out of the Rhode Island area. September 22nd, they have XWA Fallout. Matt Cross takes on Brian Cage and JT Dunn in a three-way dance, plus Ace Austin takes on Darby Allin and more. XWA, the official XWA.com. Those are our plugs for the time being. We'll have more for you later in the show, but those are our new promotions, so please go check them out. Give them a follow on Twitter. They're doing great things in the world of professional wrestling and they're friends with the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Those are all the newbies?
Those are the noobs.
So we still got the regs to come later?
We still got the regs to come later.
That's right. I don't speak in full words.
We break it up, so...
That's it.
So it's not all like a 10-minute commercial block.
No, listen, it's honestly super exciting that all these companies do want to have a good relationship with wrestling podcasts, and there's a lot of them out there. But listen, we're the fucking best, so deal with it. And I'm very happy to work with all these promotions, and we'll be tagging them all in our Instagram posts and our Twitter tweets and this and that, and our Facebook posts. So thank you for those who have accepted our gracious efforts to reach out and those who have reached out to us. It's just about working together, people. That's all it is.
Correct! Ding!
That's all it is.
That's it. It's that easy.
It's that easy.
Simple. It really is that easy.
Simple. I wish I knew it was that easy. I wish I was you with no qualms. Just type, send a message out. I can't do that. That's not
very. It's very easy.
I know.
It's going to go one of two ways.
You're going to say yes?
Or they're going to say no.
Exactly.
And usually, if they say no, they're very polite about it.
Victoria. Lisa Marie Verone. Bucket list guest. I've reached out several times. If anyone's listening to this episode, do the show. Just do the show. I follow you. You know, you've responded to a couple of my tweets. Yeah, ooh. I got a man crush. Wait, that's not a man crush if it's a chick, right?
Right.
Yeah. I got a regular crush.
Right.
Yeah. Regular crush. Do the show. Just come on. Do the right thing. Do the show. Tommy Dreamer. My man. Pots and pans. Bucket list guest. You're an amazing guy. Do the show.
All right. You idiots.
That's it. Well, I'll play that again. That's my second favorite drop.
Those you idiots.
That book.
So,
all right, back to business.
Back to business. We talked action figures. We talked a little bit about Monday Night Raw, the reunion of Raw Unite from the UK.
That's it.
Now we talked a little bit about
Hello!
SmackDown. Oh, we have new fucking SmackDown tag team champions.
Oh, the New Day.
The New Day beat
because the
Eric
old
Rowan is all banged up. Got the old separated shoulder.
Did you ever find it weird when like people that work for WWE come across your Facebook feed as someone you might know?
Is it like a legit?
It's Luke Harper, because my friend did makeup for his movie that he was in, and so it's someone you may know, and it's because, again, I sound super markish doing this, and I'll probably get heat for it, but it's just like
from who? Kevin?
From everyone. Ribbed. But, when I see, Luke Harper on, someone you might know, I'm like, do I hit send request?
Fuck yeah, you do.
I didn't, though.
Why? I'm friends with Nathan Jones and Val Venus.
Matt Bowman is friends with Nathan Jones and Val Venus?
Yes.
Listen, if the Hurricane isn't responding, and I consider him an associate, not a friend, per se, but... Okay. I've talked to him a bunch of times. If he's not accepting my friend request, what hope do I have of Luke Harper?
I don't. You know what? It's worth a shot. Maybe because you have a friend in common.
We have a bunch of friends in common.
Yeah, I said go for it. What's the worst thing is he never responds.
Makes me look like a rube.
Why? No one knows.
Like a rube!
No one will know but you.
That's a good point.
You and Luke Harper. The only
me,
people.
Me and Luke Harper.
They're the only two people that'll know that you sent him a friend request.
And everyone that just listened to this show.
Yeah, whatever. Fuck them. I bet you half the people that listen to this are friends with a wrestler because it's a fake.
He air quoted people.
It's probably some made up account by somebody who wants to vicariously live through somebody else and pretend to be like The Rock or like Mike Mondo or something weird.
Wow, you went The Rock? And Mike Mondo.
Because you'd have to be a real idiot to think you were really Dwayne The Rock Johnson's friend. But I feel like Mike Mondo is one of those guys
Well, Mike Mondo's a good guy.
He is a good guy. But...
I don't know The Rock, so I'm sure he's a good guy, too.
But it would seem more not so unusual if it came across your feed Mike Mondo might be your friend. Yeah. And then, like, you look and, like, there's a couple pictures of Mike Mondo, maybe, like, from a convention with, like, somebody cropped out.
And then it's a picture of Ray-Ban sunglasses with a discount sale.
Exactly. But at that
point. Or some hot African lady.
At that point, you've already committed. You already hit the friend. And then some of these people just don't delete friends because it's, like, some weird social thing where they have to have a million fucking Facebook friends.
I'm that guy.
But now they're friends with fake Mike Mondo, but they feel like, oh, this is like a real
We should book fake Mike Mondo on the show.
I don't know if there's really a fake Mike Mondo.
There's got to be a fake Mike Mondo.
You think so?
Yeah. In the spirit fraud. You know, like the Spirit Squad, the Spirit Fraud.
Ah, I see what you did there.
There it is. Love you, Mike Mondo. Even though you bailed on us on our first ever conference.
No comment.
I mean, did he or did he not? Listen, I love the guy. Good guy.
He didn't bail. He just couldn't figure out how to point his vehicle in the direction of the convention center.
I mean, that's even worse.
I haven't talked to Mike Mondo in a long time. I should look him up.
I would love to have Mike Mondo back on the show. Anyway.
Anywho.
Listen.
Yeah.
I'm a mark. Full blown. No secrets. I'm a mark. Lucky enough to have this podcast with you and Tony. So thank you so much. And then I got lucky enough to get involved with Russell Pro, where I was able to meet a lot of people. I will always be a mark, and I'll never not be a mark. So if I say stuff that sounds super markish on this show, I'm not going to apologize for it.
I don't think you should ever apologize for it, and I don't think you should worry about people thinking you're a mark, because if you're a wrestling fan, odds are you're a mark, and that's fine. That's what the business was built on.
That's it.
You're a fan. It's fucking cool. I'm sorry. When you get to interact with these guys and talk to them, last week, SummerSlam was in the area.
That's right.
I texted Drew Gulak, right? We know Drew.
Drew. Love you, Drew.
And I just let him know, like, if he was in the area, the company I work for is a restaurant in Jersey City, and if he wanted to come by, like, I would take care of him.
For sure.
Drew Gulak, WWE superstar.
That's right.
205 Live.
Yep.
For some ungodly reason, I'm texting him, and he is such a nice guy that he responded back to me.
That's it.
He told me to go fuck myself.
That's it.
But that's neither here
nor
there.
That sounds about right, actually. He's like, I don't eat pizza. I'm fucking dairy-free, you jerk.
That's not true. He ate pizza at one of the food truck festivals.
What the fuck? God damn it, Matt.
Where there was a wrestling show.
Matt.
Yes.
Nothing. Go ahead.
But it's just fucking cool. Like, I will never.
Kulak. It's true Kulak.
I will never. I will never in a million years apologize for anything like that. Being able to text Drew Gulak, to text Nigel McGuinness and congratulate him on the birth of his child. And he actually responds.
Yeah. Listen, the guy's in the business. So I guess what we're. I don't want to.
You're in like some weird, like. You feel like.
I'm in a weird. Like you feel we're like in a weird place. It's weird.
You're in a weird place.
You're not in a weird place. I thought we were all in a weird place.
I mean, like in life.
Yeah.
No, I'm okay.
I don't know.
I just have no like.
You have. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because of like what I've done and like I've been a rat. Like it's just weird to like. I don't want to like. I feel like if I text somebody, I'm bothering them. Like even if it's like Hawkins or if it's like Drew or if it's like I feel like this mark is bothering me. Like KM, this mark is bothering me again. But
those people gave you their phone numbers. It's not like
that's a good point.
It's not like you like paid like $9 a month to go on some weird website and look up people's phone numbers.
This is such a weird conversation to have 7 years into podcasting wrestling.
Sure.
And the amount of people we've had on the show and the amount of people that have supported us, and I'm still, you know what? We got into a weird place. What else is going on in the world of professional wrestling?
Everything's going on in the world
of professional
wrestling. That's right! Professional wrestling, Kevin. I actually watched a shitload of wrestling this week. I don't know how I managed to do it.
Because
this was one of the busier weeks of the summer.
A man amongst boys.
I don't know how I fucking managed to pull this off. I watched Lucha Underground.
Oh, boy.
I watched Impact. I watched Triple Mania, bits and pieces of Triple Mania.
I think I watched Impact too. I can't remember though.
I mean, I slayed some dragons. Now, I haven't been watching Impact religiously, so I can't really.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were.
Did I say Impact or Lucha Underground?
You said Impact.
I meant to say Lucha Underground.
Okay.
Sorry, my mind is.
Yeah, because you were.
You're
like an Impact fiend now.
Since the Slammiversary, I have not missed an episode of Impact. And I do have to buy my Bound for Glory tickets.
Yeah, they went on sale.
Yeah, I have to do that like sooner than later. Because I don't want it to sell out. I don't want to miss out on this, Kevin.
The Melrose Place. It's at Melrose Place, right?
Melrose Ballroom. But I'll take Melrose Place, acceptable.
As Heather Locklear will be there?
She will be there. But, okay. I watched Lucha Underground Wednesday night. Mil Muertes continues his reign of terror. He beat the Mac in a haunted house match.
The Mac. That's Willie Mac, correct?
Willie Mac, right. The haunted house match, Kevin. Something tells me they may have taped this thinking that it would air around Halloween. very much a Halloween feel to it.
Ambiance, a Halloween ambiance?
Yes. Yes, it was essentially...
Listen, I haven't watched...
It was a cage with, like, all sorts of weapons in it, very much Halloween-themed.
I got heat with Lucha Underground. I'm just going to say that right now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. What did they stop... You know, they stopped reaching out.
Fair enough. They did stop showing some
They stopped accepting our messages and our calls and all that stuff, so... I mean, it's wrestling. I'll watch it, but
all right,
I also don't have
El Rey.
El Rey.
I don't have El Rey either. I have to search it out on the YouTube, which when we talk about Triple Mania, I'll talk about that. Fuck that noise, bro. Searching out shit on the internet. I don't know if it's because I'm old or I don't have the patience or I don't know where to look.
It's hard to find.
I just fucking everything else I Google, it shows up. But then I want to find Triple A. Fucking Mania or whatever the fuck.
And then
it's
a tow truck shows up at your
holy shit!
Door
I couldn't find
to tow
I
your
find
car because
every
it is a
fucking
flat tire.
Preview. Then I had to could only find the Spanish version. Finally, I found the English commentary version. It took forever, but we'll get there when we talk about it.
That's right.
Jake Strong defeated Aerostar. Jake Strong is Jack Swagger.
Okay,
just so you know.
Very, very non-committal to my Lucha Underground nowadays.
Yes. Yeah. It's hard to watch. It's hard to find. Not as hard to watch. It's hard to find.
Exactly. And what it'll take is for me to have, like, a day to do nothing, and I'll have to catch it, and then I'll just watch everything through, which is what I do for Impact, and it's what I do for Ring of Honor and stuff like that. Once I do find it, I will watch it.
Right.
It's just a matter of me finding it. And watching it.
Main event was Pentagon Dark and...
Love Pentagon.
Brian Cage in a last man standing or machine standing match.
Pentagon could be a main event WWE guy, in my opinion.
I think, and we can get into this when we talk about All In. I think him and Phoenix are on their way.
Or what?
Are on their way.
To WWE?
I think so. I think they'll be the 205 Live brand.
But they already got that Lucha House Party gimmick going on.
Yeah, but what if Dark Pentagon and Phoenix
against
fucking
them?
Destroy them?
I hope... Listen, I think Pentagon could be, like, his look... I know it's a mask, I know it's a gear, but, like, it's like, to me, it's like La Parka or LA Park, whatever you want to call him, like, turned up to, like, a million. Like, La Parka could have probably been more than he was in America, even though he had a great run... the chairman gimmick was phenomenal. But, like, Pentagon, to me, his look with the mask is just amazing. And he could easily be, to me, this is just me, a top guy. And I think he's amazing. So,
Cierro, miedo.
Yes.
No fear, Kevin.
I get it. I speak German.
So him and... Pentagon Dark and Brian Cage had a fucking unbelievable match. Unbelievable match.
That's cool. It's cool to hear because I like Brian Cage a lot too.
And Pentagon retains. There was some very unprotected chair shots.
Head?
Where it kind of made me, like, I'm at that point in my life.
Did we talk about this, like, last week or the week before? Not this specifically, but...
Like, the unprotected chair shots, like, knowing everything, like, I get it. But, man, it is not... It is uncomfortable to watch, even if they know what they're doing. You can't... If you're not putting your hands up to block the chair,
there's nothing
between your skull and that chair.
It's so weird, like, how much you realize you grow. This is, like, a bigger picture issue. Like, if I was 18, 20, 21, 22... probably wouldn't have given it a second thought back in the time we were living in. But now that I'm 35 years old, and again, I know I'm not a relic, but it's to the point where, like, I'm just like, how do I think this way now and didn't think that way then? And the fact that people still don't think the way I think in terms of that is frightening to me. It's like, after all of this stuff that we've learned about head injuries and this thing, and you still do it. You can protect yourself all you want, but just the visual is just like, oof, ah. It's like, stop doing it.
It's hard for some people to look beyond, you know, you see what happens in the ring, and then afterwards, you don't think that, you know, this person's going to go back to their bedroom at the hotel, and their significant other might have to spend the night awake next to them, making sure that they don't fall asleep because they have a concussion.
Yep. It's just. I mean, I see it on a monthly basis. Sometimes these guys just take these unprotected shots, and it's just. It's like you want to give the crowd the best show you possibly can, but it's just you could. It's just not necessary, and it's so weird how now I think about it now and back again. Like I said, like back when I was in my early 20s or my teens, like fuck it, like I would. I got hit in the head. Like, we were at Sweet 16 parties and fake wrestling matches, and I would take a legit chair shot right on my dome and not even give it a second thought.
Well, yeah, look, I did the backyard wrestling.
Yeah, you did, yeah, the MBW.
Quite a bit of time, and I took a lot of risks. And, lucky that I'm still walking today, to be perfectly honest.
And you look at, like... It's not even just the headshots. It's just like for example, this popped in my head. I think we talked about it last week. And I always preface stuff saying that just because I'm sorry if I repeat myself. Matt Hardy is probably going to retire, not because of headshots, but because of the leg drop he did for years and years and years. And now his pelvis is fusing with the spine. A leg drop, you don't think as a dangerous move to either person, but now Matt Hardy is just like his lower back is so compressed that it's melting with his pelvis. It's just, and if you hear background noise, ladies and gentlemen, there's actually a cornhole tournament going on behind us here at the Brown Bear Pub at West Orange, New Jersey, 104 Harrison Avenue in West Orange. Great wings, great food, great beers, great fun. Host of the Dumb Fellows and tonight the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. But it is insane that, like,
well, didn't Hogan have problems with his hips?
Probably,
After all those years of the leg drop. I mean, you know, he's doing it. You're seeing it once a night, but these guys are out fucking doing it, you know, six times a week.
And it's kind of like the analogy with football is it's like the same. It's like you got to take that out of the sport. You got to take that out of the game. But if you take so much out of it, it doesn't become what it was. And it loses a lot of interest. And it loses a lot of value of the game. But we're in such a different era now in 2018 where people care so much about, and rightfully so to a degree, about long-term health and stuff like that. But it hurts. This is selfish. It hurts the consumer if you're not giving them what they've seen or what they expect. So it's tough, and the chair shots are nuts. But again, going back to, I guess we started on the old...
We're talking Lucha Underground.
What's that?
We were talking Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground.
I watched NXT as well.
I cut up until I didn't watch after. I watched Keith Lee debut. That was the last episode I saw, I think.
Well, typically the NXT after TakeOver, there's usually two dark matches at the beginning of TakeOver.
Yeah, I watched that.
Okay, so you saw Bianca Belair beat Deonna Purrazzo.
Yes.
And then we saw Pete Dunne defeat Zach Gibson to retain his UK title. So they had that. They recapped the NXT TakeOver. This show wasn't anything special. The UK title match was good. Definitely check that out. And it's always nice to see a friendly face like Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah.
On the NXT. So I know they did their tapings.
For the UK stuff.
Oh. The UK stuff they did, but the next set of NXT shows is all taped up. So we'll see what goes on with there, what direction we go with Ricochet as the North American champion, what goes on with the Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano feud, where does Aleister Black fit into this, where does Keith Lee fit into it, where does Adam Cole fit into it, the tag titles, of course, the War Raiders, a lot of interesting things going on NXT, so stay tuned to that.
I was way off, though, when we talked. I thought that there were going to be some call-ups after SummerSlam, like the next night or the next week. I was way off.
Yeah, we didn't see anything.
No EC3, no Adam Cole, no anyone.
Nope.
So.
Goose egg.
Goose egg, which is good for NXT because EC3 would be the only guy that I would want to see called up. I think Adam Cole deserves to be NXT champ. EC3 could be a major player on the main brand, I think. I don't know. Anyway.
Anywho, Impact Wrestling. This was probably the first time since Slammiversary, even a little before Slammiversary, where I kind of was like, man, what are you doing? That was my thought watching Impact this week.
Oh, I thought you were looking at me chewing ice.
No, I was not looking at you chewing ice. I did a lot of stories going on. I love the Austin Aries stuff. I love this Killer Cross dude. Awesome look. Apparently he worked a bunch of AAA. He was on the Triple Mania pay-per-view. He's part of a faction down there. I don't know much about the Killer Cross, but I do want to get to know him more and possibly have him on the show.
Can make that happen.
We do an Eddie Edwards promo that opens the show up. Austin Aries and Killer Cross come out. They jump him. They beat him up. Moose makes the save. You haven't seen Moose since Slammiversary.
Moose.
So that was pretty cool. He chases them out of the ring. So Moose with the save. Matt Sydal defeated Zachary Wentz. Zachary Wentz is a CZW guy. He's an independent guy. Really good worker. Good match.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot he was on that show.
Real good match. They started promoting Impact going to Mexico City. And they promoted Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Cruise, where Josh Matthews advertises as Ring of Honor versus Impact, Marty Scurll versus Sami Callihan, LAX versus the
Bobby
Bucks.
Cruz.
We had a great thing backstage with Fala.
A great KM. Lucha thing?
What?
A great Lucha thing?
No, not a gay, not a great Lucha thing.
God, not a
great
Lucha
Fala thing.
Great Fala thing.
Where Fala gifted KM.
The gear?
Some new gear. KM taking the advice of Scarlett.
Unbelievable.
Scarlett Bordeaux during the smoke show segment. She told KM to follow Boz lead.
Yep.
So KM put on the same
follow out. Boz lead. Follow Boz lead.
Follow
Boz lead.
Follow Boz lead.
Shout out, follow Boz KM. Anyway, go ahead.
And it led to follow Boz and KM defeating the Desi Hit Squad.
So they're in contention now for the old tag team titles.
They're definitely on some kind of streak. They got a streak going, so that's good.
I would imagine if KM and Fala are the Impact Wrestling tag team champions.
It'd be awesome.
I love me some LAX. Don't get me wrong. Those are our boys. Love them. But KM and Fala, oofa. Oofala.
They're keeping up with this Grado thing where Grado is with Katarina.
Yes.
But Joe Hendry.
Hello!
He might be tapping that on the side. Grado's best friend tapping his girl. So next week we're going to see, or this week, excuse me, you're going to see Grado on the smoke show.
I do want to reiterate that Hendry's Titantron is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. What'd I say? Hendry. Yeah.
Like in Goodfellas. Hendry. Hey, Hendry. Kira Hogan defeated Alicia Edwards. I'm still kind of torn as to when Eddie Edwards' wife became a wrestler. Because I don't think the knockouts division is really that bad over there. She just doesn't really fit, in my opinion, in there.
I have
Kira Hogan.
No idea. Kira Hogan is.
And she can work. Yep. She's hot.
She could bring home the bacon and fry it in a pan.
She could do something else, too.
Cosmo Kramer.
A little bit of them chocolate titties, son.
Ah, Bruce Pritchard.
Allie, she called out Sue Young, and she wants revenge for defeating Madison Rayne and Rosemary. Tessa Blanchard decided they were going to make it a three-way dance.
Ooh.
So next week it's Sue Young, Tessa Blanchard, and Allie for the Knockouts Championship. But this week, I don't know why I keep saying next week. I'm sorry.
Well, it's, yeah. So is this that Redefined thing? There's a show called Impact Redefined. I don't know if it's a one-night-only gimmick. But
oh, I don't know.
I shouldn't really bring stuff up if I don't know anything.
So
that's my fault.
Here's the cringeworthy thing that I saw. Johnny Impact, he's at this swimming pool and he's talking that he's going to beat Kongo Kong. And then out of nowhere, Kongo Kong attacks him. And the whole sequence just looked bad. And it looked like it was heavily edited.
Kongo.
What?
Kongo Kong.
Kongo Kong
attacked
Johnny Impact at a pool. Very bad.
Was it the Velveteen Dream compound?
No. The Velveteen Dream was nowhere to be found. They followed that up, Kevin.
I'm listening.
With the OGs doing a hit and run on a young LAX fan.
All right. I saw something about this.
It was so cringeworthy bad.
Do they play it like the kid got hit by the car?
You see Conan and LAX celebrating after the street fight. They're celebrating, they're having a good time with a group of people.
I brushed upon this in my news feeds on social media, but I didn't actually
watch
it.
Right, they're at a house party. They're talking about the feud's over.
The kid's wearing the belt over his shoulder,
we beat these guys, whatever. Well, they're leaving to go to Conan's car with a group of people, including the young kid wearing the championship belt. King and the OGs raced across the street in an attempt to hit the group. Everyone got out of the way except for the kid. So the group turns around. The group turns around and sees the kid lying in the street. And that's how the segment ended.
Is that how the show ends?
No, that's just how the segment ended. It was the most douche chilly thing I've seen on Impact in quite some time.
All right.
I love the story angle. I love the LAX. I love the OGs. I love what they're doing. But this was like, I guess they're trying to bring like the street into it. Like this is what goes down on the street. Like runs.
Which is why.
Like they didn't. Now the kid has been hit by a car, but you don't know if he's dead. There's no follow up. I'm sure we'll get the follow up Thursday night on Impact.
All right, let's try to put this into perspective in terms of wrestling storylines. In terms of what the most egregious thing has been involving children. The Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Dominic thing comes into mind. But he was never really, he was never physically harmed.
Right, I mean, this kid wasn't really hit by a car.
I know, I get it, but it's a little much, dude.
Oh, look, I don't disagree. I thought it was very douchey.
And they're going to listen. I mean, they took a chance, and it's wrestling. We all know it's not real. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, in 90210, kids got hit by cars, and Saved by the Bell, or whatever, any of these shows, kids got hit by cars. So I guess I can't be a hypocrite and say that it's okay for one form of entertainment and not for another. But it's just, wrestling is just weird. It's weird when, like, you, it seems more real than regular TV shows.
Yeah, it's so that was that. And then we finish Impact with the Sami Callihan defeating Pentagon in a Mexican death match, which I thought was really good. Some pretty crazy spots.
Crazy spots!
But, I mean, that's what you've been getting out of this
That's the next
Callihan
wrestling podcast that's going to be started. The Crazy Spots Podcast!
That's what you've been getting out of this Sami Callihan Pentagon feud. It's been pretty wild. So that was Impact in a nutshell.
Love Impact. I love the venue that they shoot in Toronto.
Oh, it's amazing! It looks amazing. They're doing great things. So, and I'm getting ahead of myself. It's in the news and notes. Did you see the Cody and the Bucks and them? They all have they made like a deal, like. If they decide to go somewhere, they're going together.
It's Cody and the Bucks?
Bucks, Adam.
And Scroll and Paige?
Yeah.
They're all involved? They're all in, I guess?
Yes.
If they go somewhere?
I think I put it in the notes. Let me see if I can find it here, Kevin, and I'll tell you exactly what it says.
Well, listen, I mean, regardless of what their decision is, wherever they go, whatever they decide to do, wherever they end up, we'll be better having them all there. Again, no pun intended, okay. Having them all in.
I found it. During a conference call to promote the StarCast convention during All In weekend earlier today, Cody was asked a question about what could be next for All In after the first show. Cody said that he wasn't sure, but that he and the other members with the Bullet Club are verbally committed to one another going forward. One thing that is special about this group is we have verbally committed to each other, and I don't know that there's ever that's ever been done in the history of wrestling, where I verbally committed to the Bucks, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page. He said, there's a verbal commitment that the next step we take, because it's no secret, our contracts are all up. What happens next? The next step we take, we're going to take it together, and we're going to take it as a family. Matt Jackson later seemed to comment on Cody's comments, tweeting the word "packed," as in impact.
That's a no.
What do you mean no?
As in impact.
What other pact would there be?
A pact is a deal.
I understand that. It's cementing. And it's as crazy as it sounds. You have to look at all the players, Kevin. New Japan is working with Ring of Honor, and they're working with Impact. Now, why do you shake your head?
Go ahead. I'll let you finish. I just wholeheartedly disagree with...
You wholeheartedly disagree with the fact that...
That you think they're going to... That the pact means Impact.
Why wouldn't they go to Impact?
Why would they go to Impact?
Because they'd probably get paid a lot of money to go there. They wouldn't be exclusively under Impact contracts, just like the rest of the Impact roster.
Totally disagree.
And it means less time on the road for them.
I think the money that the group collectively would get from WWE is, at the end of the day, what it's all about. And again, I'm not doubting their love for wrestling. I'm not doubting that they want to work in different places. But what they could do to WWE right now as a group collectively would be monumental.
Nope.
I'm not even sure changing that word. Monumental.
Absolutely not. The minute WWE writers write something for them, it's over. Just like the Hardys.
I mean, I can't speak to that, but I'm telling you right now, I think if they're all committed together and there's strength in numbers, that they will have as much say, especially Cody, knowing his legacy with that company.
I don't think so at all.
Oh. And they've already, listen, they've had a hard on for Kenny Omega since he left.
Sure, but that doesn't mean that you're going to get him back and you're going to give them the reins. There's no way. Because they're not, they have.
I disagree.
I think it would be huge, but I don't think it would translate well at all in WWE.
I think it would be absolutely huge. I think it would be the biggest thing that probably happened in wrestling since.
Until Roman Reigns beats Cody Rhodes. And then everybody poo-poos it.
That's a fair point.
They're not... If they decide to go, it would be huge for professional wrestling, but they will not have the free reign to do what they do now.
No, I mean, they might.
I think they have
They might have some shoestrings on them, but.
Some? Everybody has shoestrings on them.
Yeah, but when you have this amount of leverage, like, they could easily just re-sign with New Japan and Ring of Honor and be financially successful.
Sure.
If WWE, first of all, they won't make as much money with Impact. I mean, I don't know.
I'm not saying they're going to sign exclusively with Impact.
And if they do, it makes sense that if they do, that company will be elevated to God knows where. Hey, maybe they do something with the NWA. Who knows?
Look, you have to look at the players that are involved in Impact.
But they,
Don Callis, Scott D'Amore, very good friends with Kenny Omega.
Right.
And if you even want to go a step further into this weird conspiracy theory, Chris Jericho says 2019 is the year of the free agent.
But if you're thinking strictly as a business person who's in it to make as much money as you can while you can before your body breaks down, it's WWE.
I don't think the Young Bucks make more money in the WWE.
I think 100%
they do. I think the
Young
Bucks make much more money now, just on their merchandise alone.
Now, does that affect their pro wrestling tees and all that stuff? I don't know. But the most money guaranteed to be made when you have, I can't imagine, when you have this much leverage and you're coming in as a group, as like this entity that's so enormously huge all around the world, I can't imagine that you're going to make more money anywhere else. I just can't. I mean, again, I don't know. I know nothing about it, how it works.
Now, do you think if that's... Now, Cody's been there. Cody's been in that position where he gets to make all the money in the world.
No, how much money do you think Cody... Like, again, I can't...
I don't know, but he was also very unhappy there.
But
being on the road away from... Now, if they bring him in, do they bring Brandy in? Do you get Bernard the Business Bear? Do you... You know, like, seriously. You're laughing. These are all...
The Brandy thing, I want... The
Bear, don't you dare discount Bernard. Don't be rude, Kevin. Bernard is... He's serious. He's very serious.
You don't bring the... I mean, maybe you do. I don't know.
Why wouldn't you bring him?
But the Bear's not making money because it could be anyone in any town under a mask.
You're
paying a Bear a contract.
See, but I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about them just making an impact.
Listen, I know less to nothing about anything. But if I had to guess, although them going to Impact would be fucking major. But
it would be huge. They would do tapings once a month. They would still be able to work New Japan and Ring of Honor.
But then why would they have to make such a big deal about what they're saying? If they're all going to go somewhere, the statement that we just read says that if it's a big decision, we're all going to go together. Going to Impact doesn't seem like a big decision.
Why?
Because you're still doing what you already have been doing.
Yes, but going to Impact, as you said, elevates Impact to a whole nother level.
Yeah, but how much do they honestly care about? They've all been there before.
Right?
They've all been there before. Why would they want to go? Like, what? How much fun could they have possibly had where they'd rather go there and turn down?
Well, how much fun did Cody have in the WWE that makes you think he wants Cody's to go
in
back?
Cody's in a different place now.
Is he?
Yeah.
In the when Cody came out of the WWE and he went to Ring of Honor and Impact, he was just Cody Rhodes.
He's in a different place. Cody, to me, listen,
sure,
again,
he's in a different place, but would he want to go back to somewhere where he's going to be miserable?
If, again, I'm not in the interview room saying what I can offer him or what is promised to him if he comes back, but I guarantee you they'll sell the shit out of it and make it sound good and make it sound amazing. And I think Cody Rhodes, again, it's the roster's loaded. Don't get me wrong. It's freaking loaded, especially if you still want to consider Brock Lesnar, if you still want to consider John Cena. The roster's loaded. But if they sell him with money and with, I don't know, what's the word, potential earnings and but like you guys are going to be the top heel stable on the show, i.e. Nexus, i.e. NWO. Ugh. Listen, I just threw that out there because I thought the Nexus could have been a lot better than it was.
Sure, but the WWE writers got their hands on it.
Fair enough.
I think this group, they're trying to break through the glass ceiling. And you've already started to see that with All In.
And
with New Japan Pro Wrestling running in California 2 weeks before WrestleMania and selling out. And having their own Funko Pops at Hot Topic.
The thing is, though, all their contracts are up, so there's no guarantee they're going to be on those shows. There's no guarantee that they're going to be on MSG New Japan.
I'm saying the shows in the past.
Oh, okay.
The stuff that they've had a hand in. Do you want to create your own legacy, or you just want to go to WWE?
Do you not think? All right, Cody's been there. Kenny's been in the system. Do you not think the Young Bucks want to work WrestleMania? Do you not think they want to be on live TV every week in the biggest market in the world?
Do they want to be away from their families 5 days a week?
Does AJ Styles? AJ Styles does it. AJ Styles has four kids.
Maybe AJ Styles was ready to do that at that point in his life.
Maybe the Young Bucks are. Young Bucks aren't no spring chickens anymore.
I don't see it.
I see it. I think it happening.
I think it would be huge for professional wrestling, and then the backlash would be...
The fast lane, you mean?
No, the backlash.
Oh, the backlash.
Would
okay.
be
gotcha.
Immediate.
Gotcha.
When the B team beats the Young Bucks, when Cody beats... when Roman Reigns... Don't shake your head, because these aren't things that are completely
the
out
B
of
team,
the realm.
Yeah, they might beat them, but like... First of all, no. Yeah.
No? Is that something you could say is completely out of the realm of possibility?
No, of course. No one can say that.
Unfortunately, the WWE is... They do things their way.
All right. Let me ask you this.
And they're not going to cater to... They're gonna create their goofy rip-off Elite T-shirts or whatever.
Well, yeah, of course they'll do that.
They'll be sellers, but once they start losing and once they don't get to do being the Elite, it's over.
Well, Zack Ryder got to do his internet show while under WWE contract. They actually embrace social media more than they deter from it. Xavier Woods has his show. Hawkins and Ryder are now starting their podcast. They encourage them to be more outgoing in social media. And
yes, but what them encouraging that doesn't translate to the screen. Like, what's Zack Ryder and
no, no,
Kurt
of
Hawkins
course
doing?
Not. But it's I. What my point is that I don't think that being the Elite would stop if they went to WWE.
I think it would be overproduced shit like the Hardy stuff.
But it wouldn't go through WWE.
It would though.
Up, up, down, down. Xavier Woods show doesn't go through WWE. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head other than, the guys that have Jericho. Like, I know he's not under contract, but one week he has a WWE guy on. One day he has, a Ring of Honor guy or an Impact guy on. I don't think it will affect them. And again, this is all speculation if they actually do sign, which I think eventually they're going to go there. But I'm naive because I always I go back to the AJ Styles thing. Did anyone think that AJ Styles would have this be the top guy in WWE?
Did anyone think that? Maybe at one
everyone
point?
And Samoa Joe is now right up there too. These guys were not WWE guys who. They had their dark matches and whatnot, and then they came back and made a huge splash. So I don't see why it would be any different for a Cody Rhodes.
I think Cody Rhodes is in a mindset where he's going to create his own legacy without the WWE machine.
He already has.
I don't think he's done. Thank you, Greg.
I mean, he might not be done, but that doesn't necessarily mean that... Listen, I'm not saying it's got to happen once his contract is up. I'm not saying it's got to happen like the day that they're all free agents that it has to happen. if they want to sign for another year, they can, and they could still make a splash later on down the road. But I think, like, there's a reason why these guys do it. There's a reason why Bobby Roode went. There's a reason why Kevin Owens went. There's a reason why Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and all these indie darlings. I hate that term, but it's for the sake of this conversation, it is what it is. They all go there. At some point, they will.
Sure.
They will be there.
I'm not saying that they'll never go. I just think Cody is in the mindset where he wants to create something without the WWE machine behind them. I don't think it's such a far-fetched idea for them to expand their reach to Impact. And if Impact is ever in a position, we've had this conversation before, what's going to make Impact a true number two?
It would be that. There's no doubt in my mind. Of course, it would be them.
That and Jericho. Realistically, that's it. You're not going to get CM Punk. You're not getting John Cena, Randy Orton. Granted, we've been down the road before with Jeff Hardy and RVD and Sting and Kurt Angle. But I think it's a different time.
But you mentioned a very, very key, adjective, adverb. We're not here to play. You said realistically. Realistically, they're not going to get a Jericho, I don't think. They're not going to get, like you mentioned, CM Punk. They're not going to get them. You might be right in that the best chance they have is for Cody and the Bucks and them. But if they say, hey, we're going to Impact. So again, we're talking about stuff that I have no idea anything about. But I just don't see it unless, to your point, they want the freedom of working other places. If that's very important to them, then yes, I'll do it. But I can't imagine that, like, the lure of the WWE, for especially guys like the Young Bucks who've never really worked there, it's just, to me, it's too much. It's too much. Like, Shinsuke Nakamura, like, all these guys, Pac, like, did I say Pac?
You said Pac, yes.
I meant
Neville.
Yeah.
And he's gone out of his contract, too.
He what?
He got released.
Oh, Neville's done, yeah.
Neville is done.
I meant, I didn't mean him, no. I meant Fergal Devitt. I meant Prince Devitt. But, yeah.
I mean, he's like a perfect example. He came in with the club, and
again, it's not his fault, but he got hurt a lot. And
sure, it's not his fault, but he was also written into a storyline where the demon was going to wrestle Sister Abigail, who was Bray Wyatt in drag.
All right, it's hard to argue that. It's hard to argue.
I'm just saying. In this day,
I forgot about that.
Sorry, I had to remind you that. In this day and age, there's so many different factors, and you have to look like, yes, they're all like New Japan, Ring of Honor, and Impact are working together. Maybe they're not sending the big names over, but your Bone Soldier is featured heavily on Impact. Austin Aries is on Ring of Honor. You're getting to see these guys in New Japan Pro Wrestling. You know, it's. I don't think it's such a far-fetched idea to have the Bucks come in for a shot of tapings.
That's
with LAX. To have Cody and company. Austin Aries is belt collector. Austin Aries, Cody Rhodes.
It's not far-fetched. And I'm sorry if I dismissed it as something. I just don't think they would take a long-term deal, like a two-year contract with Impact as opposed to a two-year contract with WWE. If they want to bring them in because like you said, they do the tapings, like, if they want to bring them in for, like, and the tapings will last, like, 6 months and they're there for, like, 3 weeks. Yeah, of course.
And I don't know if they can still go to Impact and not sign a contract. I'm not sure about this.
Yeah.
I don't think Austin Aries is under contract.
I don't think he is either. But that's a discussion for people way above our pay grade.
Maybe that's based off of a handshake with Don Callis, who's also friends with Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho and does work with New Japan Pro Wrestling and knows the Bucks and knows Hangman Page and he knows Kenny.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's... But who's to say, at this point down the road, that WWE won't have a relationship with New Japan? That's an X factor that you got to throw in there, too. Again, it's not today, but it's definitely something that I can see happening in the future. Because why wouldn't you? With their global expansion, with the NXT UK, they're gonna put NXT everywhere. So if they work with New Japan, granted it might take a couple years, but I definitely can see that being something happening after this New Japan Ring of Honor relationship and the MSG show and that stuff happens. But again,
I don't think any of that will ever happen.
You don't think New Japan and WWE will ever work together?
Until Vince McMahon is dead and buried.
I don't know.
Because we've heard it 1,000 times. Vince doesn't like things he can't create. It was reported during the AJ Styles Shinsuke Nakamura thing. He just doesn't get the appeal of Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, is that a factor into the direction they went with the character? Who knows?
Yeah, again, that's...
But it's always been a topic of conversation.
No, yeah, of course.
That Vince doesn't like stuff that he doesn't create.
But didn't he, though?
What?
With the whole music and all that stuff. Wasn't that a WWE thing? The artist and the King of Strong Style, that wasn't him?
I don't think he got the Shinsuke Nakamura character. He saw him and he didn't understand why people are so much into him.
I mean, he's clearly open to working with companies that he would have never dreamed of before, and I'm not saying that in like a prestigious way, but you know the affiliations he has with the UK companies like ICW, and
I think that's all Triple H.
Agreed, but at the end of the day, the boss has to sign off on it.
Sure, but the boss isn't the one who's out there. If Triple H, so Triple H goes out and he sees it. He comes back. He sells it to Vince.
Right.
You know, Vince isn't firsthand seeing it. So I think once Vince is dead and gone, then I think you'll see a lot more doors opening up for a lot of more promotions to work with the WWE. You're getting little bits of it now with Progress, like you said, and ICW, a lot of the UK stuff. I think once Vince is out of the picture, I think Triple H is...
Yeah, he'll head up the creative, but the business is still going to be run by the two, I think they're co-CEOs or co-VPs or something like that. Granado, I'm totally blanking on the names. But there's two people in place that are going to run the business side of it, and then Triple H and Stephanie will run the creative side of it. So, listen, going back just to the original discussion of the Bullet Club, I do think they will be in WWE. I think it's not a matter of if, I think it's a matter of when. So whether it's after their contracts are up now, or whether it's their contracts, they sign another one and they go back to Ring of Honor, go back to New Japan, I think it's a matter of if, not when. I mean, when, not if.
All right. We'll have to wait and see. I would love to see them show up in Impact.
Again, I'm not saying that on their journey they won't make a stop at Impact. I think that's entirely possible. But at the end of the day, I think their long-term future is going to be with WWE unless, again, I don't know these guys. I think I spent all of, 2 hours in a room with Kenny Omega doing the developmentally speaking show. He wasn't too fond of their developmental system at that time, but that was also a long, long time ago. But would he go back? Yeah, I think he would.
We'll have to wait and see. Only time will tell. Triple Mania took place Saturday night. I am not a huge AAA guy, Kevin.
I don't know anything about it right now.
I have not watched a AAA show in years, but I did take away a couple things of note.
All right. Love the notes.
Our friend...
My Twisted Tea has demolished these notes. Everything is blurred out now.
That's okay.
Smudged.
That's okay. Jeff Jarrett lost the AAA Mega Championship to Phoenix in a four-way dance with Rich Swann and Brian Cage. I watched two women wrestle. Lady Shayna and Fabi Apache. I'm probably butchering their names. Mm. It was a hair versus mask match.
All right.
These bras beat the shit out of each other.
Intense?
And then there's one chick who lost, got her head shaved. She was like a bloody mess, but it was super cool. There was this weird thing.
Her new name should be Bloody Mary, then.
Ah. It was... All right, so there's this...
I just love that natural reaction.
So there's this... I know nothing about AAA for the most part, but I did watch this.
Like I said, there's a company that comes and fixes your tire when you're pulled over.
Bandido and Flamita defeated Aerostar, Drago, Golden Magic, and Laredo Kid, and DJ Z and Andrew Everett in a number one contenders tag team ladder match.
Sounds like a fun little match.
It was awesome. But the fun stuff happens after the match. There's this group, this faction called The Mad.
The Man?
The Mad.
The Mad. M-A-D. All
right, it's Jeff Jarrett.
Oh.
All right. Conan.
What?
Teddy Hart.
What?
Australian Suicide. Killer Cross.
Wait, so does he just run counterclockwise?
I don't know. And Juventud Guerrera.
I got to find The Mad.
All right, this is The Mad. Right?
It's Jeff Jarrett, Conan, Juventud, Teddy Hart.
Australian Suicide.
And an opposite-day Suicide?
Killer Cross and Juventud Guerrero.
I still hate that there's a character called Suicide, by the way.
All right. They taunted and they called out Vampiro, who was on the English commentary at the ringside table.
Okay. Hello! He's not British.
Pagano and Murder Clown. Yes, there's a man called Murder Clown.
That's right.
Ran down to the ring to make the save, but they got a beat down instead. Vampiro is still on English commentary, and he's waiting for them to cue his
The music, right?
And he's fucking livid.
I saw that. I didn't realize that was Vampiro.
Yeah.
Looks nothing like him even from, like, last season or two seasons ago.
Yeah, so that's Vampiro.
On Lucha, anyway.
And,
He's a big boy now, huh?
Yeah. He cursed a lot until they played his music. Then he got in the ring, and him and Conan had a bit of a...
Scuffle?
Bit of a cursing at each other.
Shoot or fake?
No, fake.
Okay.
And then they have a Vampiro had a contract for a match with Conan. It's a loser leaves Mexico stipulation. So they both signed it. So this could be huge for AAA. Vampiro versus Conan, loser leaves Mexico.
That's going to be huge for them?
For AAA? Absolutely. The crowd was hot for this, Kevin. They were going, bro, if you look up...
No, I get it. First of all, I didn't even recognize that was Vampiro. And Conan just came off, what, double hip, whatever, replacement surgery?
Well, I'm sure this won't be till, like, December, November.
So, yeah, by name, it's got to be a lot of bells and whistles, probably.
Sure, right? The crowd was eating it up, though. Eating it up like candy.
Hey, listen, say what you want. That fan base, the AAA, the Lucha fan base, the Mexican fan base, probably as the loyalist fan base in the world. They love their Lucha. They love their wrestling. Definitely more than us, because I guarantee you they don't criticize the shit as much as we do.
Probably not.
So they love their pro wrestling, and they're loyal. So if they're going to root for Conan and they're going to root for Vampiro in a match that probably won't be a five-star match, but... It'll have the name value for them. God bless them.
So, your main event, right? Check this out. Four masked dudes, okay? L.A. Park, El Hijo de Fantasma, Pentagon Jr., and Psycho Clown.
Ah!
Four-way match, right? In a cage. The first two to escape, I guess, are winners.
And then
the two that didn't escape... Then they have to fight, and whoever loses their mask.
So three people escape.
Two people escape.
But what happens to when there's only two left, what happens to the guy that beats the guy? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
all right, so there's four guys in the ring. Two escape.
To escape. They're done.
Now you have a one-on-one.
They all have their masks.
They all have their masks. Now there's a one-on-one match. Whoever loses, loses the match.
Yeah, so three people escape with their masks, and one person does not.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's essentially two matches rolled into one.
Gotcha.
And in what is considered super shocking, and again, I don't know
Shockmaster?
A lot about the AAA.
No,
for LA Park to beat El Hijo de Fantasma was a big deal. And they unmasked him.
He's the guy that wrestles in Impact as well, right?
Yes, he is King Cuerno.
No, Impact, though.
He was El Hijo de Fantasma.
He had the purple mask.
Yes.
Which is one that I actually... Yeah.
Yeah, but he also wrestles. He wrestles in Lucha Underground.
He's King Cuervo?
King Cuerno.
The guy, like the big dude with the...
No.
Like the monster? Like
no.
The Lucha Underground Abyss? No. It's not him?
No, that's Jeff Cobb.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, Jeff Cobb.
Mil Muertes.
Sorry, Jeff Cobb. I love you.
Oh, no, Matanza. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Jeff Cobb is Matanza. No. King Cuerno was his Lucha Underground character.
It doesn't sound right. El Hijo del Fantasma is a pretty jacked big guy. Not like Jeff Cobb, like size-wise, but he's like Hector Gomez or Hector Garza. Hector Garza.
Yeah, but he's size. Not that big.
Yeah, but the guy's not King Cuerno is the head of Lucha Underground.
No, that's Darien Cueto.
All right, never mind. All right.
You were right about him working in Impact, though.
Yeah. I can see him without. I have no idea what he looks like, but I can see him wrestling without a mask.
Yeah, so he lost his mask. That was apparently a huge deal. Huge deal. And then
Eric Bischoff is probably laughing.
Dr. Wagner Jr. came to the ring to cut a promo on LA Park. A challenge was made for a hair versus mask match at next year's Triple Mania.
Wow, a year in
advance.
A
year build. For fucking
take that,
AAA.
Rock and John Cena.
Fucking Lucha Mania. Lucha fucking whatever.
Fantastic.
Well, you know what's
El Hijo del Fantastic.
CMLL is running their 85th anniversary show.
Fuck if I know.
And the main event is Voldar Jr. and Matt Taven against Barbaro Cavernario and Rush in a hair match. So it looks like Matt Taven's putting those beautiful blonde locks on the line. What are you, cramping?
Yeah, Charlie Horse.
Kevin's got a Charlie Horse, people.
Woo! Ow, this is painful. All right, let's keep going. Let's
keep
plug
going.
Through. Plow through.
What else we got? Viano 3 passed away.
Yeah.
That's kind of a bummer. He was 66.
And a lot of people didn't realize this in last week, and I'm probably over... Like sentimental about it. A great European wrestler, Doc Dean. I don't know if we mentioned this. He passed away at a very young age in his 50s. He used to team. I discovered him when he teamed with Robbie Brookside, who obviously everyone knows. He's a trainer in WWE NXT. But he would team with him on the WCW like main events and Saturday nights, and he would wrestle singles, and he was they were kind of like a Rockers or a Rock and Roll Express, but like British version of them, with the frills on the boots and everything like that. So Doc Dean, I probably mentioned this already, so I apologize, but Doc Dean passed away. Viano 3 passed away. Long time live event executive. I don't know if you have that. The notes. Eric Cohen, I think was his name. Passed away. Me and Gene Okerlund had something on that. So, just stinks. It's poop.
Did you mention Chris Champion?
Oh, Chris Champion. God, Yoshi Kwan. God damn. Yeah. Wrestling is a... I mean, people would die every day, but this is rough.
So we are... It's late here on a Monday night, Kevin.
Yes.
Do you want to hear the main event of Monday Night Raw and what happened here tonight?
No.
Oh, wow. All right, well...
I mean, are you going to play it? You could play it.
I'm not going to play it. I'm going to tell you about it. Because
nah.
This factors into something you were talking about earlier. And a match has been signed for the Super Showdown, excuse me.
kind of want to watch it.
All right, fair enough. Well, if you can avoid the internet,
That's where I'm going to watch it, is on the internet.
All right, well, don't go to, like, Facebook or anything.
Nah.
All right.
Wow, it's that big, huh?
I don't think it's that big. I think it's very relevant to what we were talking about earlier.
All right, fuck it, tell me.
The main event was Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman against Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. And midway through the match, Braun Strowman headbutted Roman Reigns and gave the wink and nod to Drew McIntyre. So this is setting up at the Super Showdown, the Shield against Braun Strowman, Drew McIntyre, and Dolph Ziggler.
Wow. So, wow.
Yeah.
Little heel-ski action for the old Braun Strowski, Magoski. Yeah.
Strowman grabbed Reigns, headbutted him, then nodded at McIntyre, who continued the attack. Ziggler hit a super kick, then Ambrose ran down. He wildly attacked, but he was overwhelmed.
I'm going to have to drink a lot more to forget this so I can make it new again tomorrow.
Rollins ran down next. Also, Kevin Owens apparently quit tonight on Monday Night Raw, so they're going with that storyline.
Air quote quit?
Yeah.
Air quote quit.
So that was essentially what happened tonight on Monday Night Raw.
Yes, and this will be up after, obviously, the show, because it is well past 11 o'clock.
Yes.
It is 11:30. Wow.
Bill Goldberg's Twitter was hacked, and apparently he was threatening to beat up
Standalone Wrestling at the Boardwalk Beatdown. Shout out to them, by the way.
Yes, big shout out to them. They had a huge, successful weekend.
Good for them. They gave a lot of independent guys a place to just set up and do stuff. And, of course, you had Sting and Goldberg and the Bullet Club, all of them down there. So shout out to them.
As we bring this train into the station,
that's
Kevin,
right.
I do want to bang out a couple more of these plugs. There are a couple more people that support us, and we want you to support them. We'll start with our friends over at WrestlePro, WrestlePROOnline.com, at WrestlePro on Twitter. Friday, September 7th, the Raw Way Rec Center, the Gold Rush Rumble. Danny Moff takes on PCO, MJF takes on Teddy Hart. Katarina Lee takes on Santana Garrett. LAX takes on The Breakfast Club, Heavenly Bodies, and Team Espana in a four-way dance for the WrestlePro tag titles and much more. Go to WrestlePROOnline.com. Creator Pro Wrestling at Creator Pro on Twitter, CreatorProWrestling.com. All About Us, September 15th at the Sports Arena, 1620 Middle Country Road, St. James, New York. A dog collar match as Bear Bronson defends the Creator Pro Championship against Johnny Clash, Cliff Marshall, Tennille Dashwood, Alex Reynolds, Gangrel, and more in action. Go to CreatorProWrestling.com. Smash Wrestling at Smash Wrestling on Twitter, smash-wrestling.com. London Vacation, September 23rd, at the London Hall, a music hall in London, Canada. Halal Beefcake takes on Dylan Andrews and his trusty sidekick.
Who?
Halal Beefcake.
Halal Beefcake, all right.
Violet Lee takes on Zandra Bale, plus PCO, Tarek, Scotty O'Shea, Kevin Blackwood, Tyson Dukes, and more. We mentioned Standalone Wrestling at Saw Pro Wrestling on Twitter, standalonewrestling.com. As soon as they announce the next event, we will have that for you. House of Glory, HOG Wrestling on the Twitter, HOGWrestling.net. What?
A plug with no actual...
They have nothing.
Yeah, they have
nothing. Find anything. Extreme Warfare, October 5th at the New York City Arena. Sammy Callahan takes on Bully Ray. Follow House of Glory Wrestling at HOGWrestling.net. Pro Wrestling Magic at Wrestling Is Magic. Wrestling Magic. My apologies. WrestlingMagic.com, Not For The Innocent, September 15th at the Knights of Columbus in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey.
Columbus.
MV Young, Casanova Valentine, the Southern Psycho Mance Warner, and Josh Briggs challenges Adam Payne for the PWM Dark Arts Championship. Battle Club Pro at X Battle Club Pro, BattleClubPro.com. The two-year anniversary show, Trial by Combat, October 20th at the Knights of Columbus in Richfield Park, New Jersey. Brody King, Jimmy Havoc, and many more. Go to BattleClubPro.com for all your information. Capital Wrestling at Capital Wrestling on the Twitter machine. CapitalWrestling.com. September 1st, the Colossal Confrontation at White Eagle Hall in Jersey City, New Jersey. Doors are at 7. Broadcast is at 8. Memphis Mofo takes on Colossal Mike Law. Kenny Dixon defends his Capital Championship against Sonny Kiss and Matt McIntosh in a three-way dance, plus much more. Go to CapitalWrestling.com for your tickets. Last but not least, Wrestling Has It Tomorrow at What Tomorrow?
What?
On Twitter.
What?
WrestlingHasItTomorrow.com.
What?
What 7 is Sunday, September 23rd at the FET Music Hall, Providence, Rhode Island. Sanchez takes on Kenny Broadway. KC Navarro takes on Sammy Callahan. Plus, what? Private Party, JT Dunn, Killanova, Matt Cross, and more. WrestlingHasItTomorrow.com.
Awesome, man.
The music ended on the YouTube, and it went right
into... I didn't even know there was music happening.
It went right into another gimmick.
Another little song ski. Wow. What a fun show, buddy.
Yeah, definitely fun. And before we go, Kevin, big weekend.
Big weekend. That's right.
The Shining Wizards. We're all in.
That's right.
All in your face, because we will not...
That's it, because we're not going all in.
But, I mean... Look, the weather is supposed to be shitty out here in the Northeast. I know we're 7 days away from the weekend, 5 days, whatever the fuck you want to say.
Goddamn right.
But, I mean, if your barbecues are canceled, if you're not going out, if you're a huge wrestling fan, I know Fight TV, you could order the StarCast, and you get, like, 20 shows, like, 50 hours worth of content that once you have it, it's on demand forever. You could watch it forever.
Huge.
And then, of course, September 1st, All In. The WGN is free, 0 hour. And that...
Forgot about that. That's a good call.
Yeah. That is, I want to say that's at 6.
6 or 7?
If it's 6 o'clock their time, it's 7 o'clock our time because Chicago's an hour behind.
Yeah. And you just don't want to shortchange at all what All In has accomplished. So kudos to everyone involved. I'm very excited that MJF, our buddy, is going to be on that show.
So is Joey Janela.
So is Joey Janela. So
Jay Lethal.
To perform in front of that audience is going to be incredible for them. And I'm super happy, especially guys that are close to us like MJF and Joey Janela and Jay Lethal and all these guys. So kudos. And I can't wait to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be super exciting. Run down the card one last time. Nick Aldis defends the NWA World Heavyweight Championship against Cody Rhodes. Okada takes on Marty Scurll. Joey Janela takes on Hangman Page. Mysterio, Phoenix, and Bandito take on the Golden Elite, which is Matt and Nick Jackson and Kota Ibushi. Christopher Daniels takes on Stephen Amell. Madison Rayne takes on Britt Baker and Chelsea Green and Tessa Blanchard in a four-way dance. Jay Lethal defends the Ring of Honor World Championship against the winner of the Over the Budget Battle Royal, which will take place at the pre-show. Kenny Omega versus
Pentagon. I still
Pentagon.
Love that name.
Plus, the Briscoes take on SoCal Uncensored on the pre-show. It's a loaded, loaded stack card. September 1st, it's going to be on pay-per-view. It's going to be on Fight TV. It's going to be on Ring of Honor Honor Club. You don't have it, sign up for it. Figure it out. Plop down the $30, $40, whatever it is. I mean, this is going to be epic.
Can I also drop another cheap plug-in for my Homer company, WrestlePro?
Sure.
Their show, September 7th, will also be broadcast on Fight TV.
Boo!
So there's that. So the Fight app. So just throwing that out there.
Fight TV is an amazing app. So to see companies like WrestlePro, Ring of Honor, I think CWF from California.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge. It's huge for everybody. You can get the app on your phone. You get it on your laptop. It's great for all things professional wrestling. It's great to hear that WrestlePro will be on there September 7th.
It's pretty big.
So it's good things. Good things are happening in the world of professional wrestling. Shit, Kevin, it's late.
It's late. It's 11:30. It's past my bedtime. I still have to do laundry.
We threw this shit together last minute. We hope you guys had a good time listening, enjoying. Next week, we're going to do a special show on Labor Day. What was that look for? We had a whole conversation about this. Like,
all right. Yeah, we'll do a show on Labor Day.
Like a week ago with Tony. We're going to do it from 5 to 7.
Yes. There it is. Beautiful. That's all I wanted to hear.
And then you're gonna do the
Got it.
You remember?
Got it. Play some music.
What do you want to hear?
I want to hear me plug my show again this Wednesday night at the Brown Bear Pub.
What kind of music do you want in the background for this?
How about just play some Hawkins? No, play some Miz. Nope, play some Finn Balor. Make it difficult for Matt. Tommy Young.
Come on, guys, here, suck me off.
Guys, as you depart our show as we depart our own show. Listen, this Wednesday night, if you listen to this before that, August 29th, probably the biggest show that I've ever produced in my life. It's my all-in, basically, is what it is. It's Mark Normand, who was just on the VMAs, just on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. He's been on Conan 3 times. He's been everywhere. I have KP Burke, who is going to be... He's also my cohort on the Dumbfellas podcast, along with Rich McDonald. He's going to be the next big thing in comedy. I fully believe that. And I'm going to hitch my wagon to his star and just shit on him while he does stuff. But anyway, big, huge comedy show. It's free. But enjoy the great food and drinks that are here at the Brown Bear Pub. And thank you very much to the Brown Bear Pub in West Orange, New Jersey, for facilitating this podcast. And that's it. Matt?
I want to thank you guys for listening, tuning in. ShiningWizards.com is the website. If you enjoy the podcast, you enjoy what we do, give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Wizards Podcast.
Yes.
We try and have daily conversations on Facebook, fun wrestling conversations. You can always chat us up on Twitter, at Wizards Podcast. Give us a follow. Tell your friends. ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. It's a huge Pro Wrestling Tees sale going on starting Thursday.
Yeah, 25% off, eh?
So if you're looking to stock up on t-shirts, you've been waiting to buy a Shining Wizards t-shirt, now is the time. We also have pink and black t-shirts in-house. You can order that right through our website. So please check that out. Support the Shining Wizards. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
We will talk to you next week. Stay safe. Enjoy the professional wrestling. And check out the Brown Bear Pub here in West Orange, 104 Harrison Avenue. They got a beautiful outside patio back here. When the weather starts to cool off, it gets nice and cool out there. They do the comedy out there. Mark Norman and Kevin and KP Burke will be in the house Wednesday night. It's free. What do you do?
That's it, baby.
You come out, you put a 20 in your pocket. You grab a couple of brews when you walk in.
That's it.
You go out back. You have some fucking shits and giggles. Take some pictures with Kevin and Mark Norman. And then you just had a great night. You bring a date here. She blows you in the parking lot
across the
street.
That's it.
A win for everybody.
That's my plan.
We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
Good night, guys. Thanks.